So we've been talking about the Holy Spirit within, and you can go back and listen to the other message. We'll just fly over the thing we covered last couple weeks. There's just one recording, but the last couple weeks. Let's go ahead and put up John 14, 16, and 17, and we'll start there. John 14, verses 16 and 17, it says, I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you, and He will be in you. And we talked about these last few times that God is for us, He's with us, and now in the new covenant, He is in us. So He was always for Israel, and He's for us. Thank God He's for us. The Bible says, if God is for you, who can be against you? We just read that He is with us. He dwells with you. But now in the new covenant, He actually resides in us, and that is amazing that we have the Holy Spirit of Almighty God dwelling in us. Go ahead and put up 1 Corinthians 3:16. We'll look at these and then we'll go forward. 1 Corinthians 3:16. It says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Where does He dwell? He dwells in us. In the old covenant, He was shut up. The presence of God was shut up in the Holy of Holies, and you could not approach the Holy of Holies without going through certain preparations, and if somebody did, they would die. Not because God's a mean God, because He's a holy God. Number one, people were being disobedient, but His power and His holiness was there, and people could not stand in that presence. So if they tried to go in and be near that, they would die. That's why they literally would tie a rope around the high priest's ankles so that if he wasn't ready and he died, they could drag him out, because who's going to go in and get him? Because they're going to die. And then you're just going to have a pile of bodies and nobody's making any progress. So, you know, they actually tied a rope to his ankle. So thank God we don't have to have ropes in our ankle. Thank God when you came in here, you know, you didn't have to check at the door. Now that we don't have to have a checklist at the door, make sure if you come in here, you're ready, otherwise you're going to die. We probably wouldn't go over too well in general. But thank God that we can come into His presence. I don't think we really understand what we have. That presence that people could not even go near now indwells us. That's amazing. Go ahead up and put up 1 Corinthians 6:19, just in the New King James. Skip a few. Is it 1 Corinthians? Yeah, 1 Corinthians 6:19. It says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Now, why is your body the temple of the Holy Spirit? Because your spirit dwells in your body, and God, the part of you that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in, is your spirit. So your body becomes now the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. 2 Corinthians 6:16. 2 Corinthians 6:16. Similar, we're just giving you several verses. Is that the beginning of it? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. Next one. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So God dwells in us. And we talked about that the greater one lives inside of us. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world, that we are bigger on the inside than we are on the outside, that we can dwell, or we can draw on that presence of God on the inside of us. No matter what we're going through, He is always in us. And last week, it was It was good. And when I say that, it was good, I'm not boasting on myself. You know, if we're doing this right, we're just yielding to God. It's Him. But it was so good. There was such an awesome presence in here. And we just meditated on the fact that God is in us and that He is with us. Really, what problem is there that's too big if you have the Almighty inside of you? There is nothing. So let's look at Galatians 5:22. Go ahead and turn over there. Galatians 5:22. So in the scriptures, there are two groups of nine in connection to the works of the Holy Spirit within the believer. So the nine fruit of the Spirit, which we're going to read here in a minute, they are the result of the Holy Spirit's indwelling presence. So the fact that He's in us, we can have these nine fruit of the Spirit. Then there are the nine gifts of the Spirit, which are a result of the Holy Spirit's infilling power, the power of God within us. So this, we're going to touch on the nine gifts of the Spirit. Now, we're not going to teach on them in general, but just touch on this. Galatians 5:22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." Let's read that again. "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." John 15:5, do we have that one? I think I gave it to you. It says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." So where does the fruit grow? It grows on the branches. Who are the branches here? Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches." Where does fruit grow on a tree? Does it grow on the trunk? Does it grow on the... No, it grows on the branches. So we are the branches, so that's where the fruit grows. So right here, one thing... So just you can see from those scriptures, but one thing you have to understand when you read... the New Covenant, and you see the word Spirit, that word, there's not two different words as to whether it should be capitalized or not, it's just one word. So you have to go by context whether it's capitalized or not. You can see, if you go back to Galatians 5:22, see it says the fruit of the Spirit, and it's capitalized. But what is the fruit of, we're the branches, we're the branches. Jesus is the vine. The fruit grows on the branches. So here, Paul is talking in Galatians 5 that the fruit of the recreated, born-again Spirit, our spirit, are these things. Growing within the believer's life as a result of the life of the Holy Spirit within. So we have the Holy Spirit of Almighty God within us, dwelling in our spirit, and these fruit grow in our life. So you bear fruit of the Spirit as you yield to the Spirit of God within inside of you. But the Spirit of God isn't growing these. I mean, He's helping them, but it grows in the life of the believer. So we see an example of the fruit of the born-again Spirit in Luke 24. Go ahead and put up Luke 24, verse 51. Before the day of Pentecost, when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. So on the, and we just got done talking about being filled with the Spirit. But on the day of Pentecost, believers were filled with the Spirit. Now this is before that. But here we see them having the fruit of the Spirit. Luke 24:51 says, "Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy." And go ahead to the next one. "And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Amen. So this is talking about the disciples. Now, they are born again. They just saw Jesus go up into heaven. So he is alive. Jesus had, for anybody to be born again, he had to go to the cross and be resurrected, buried, resurrected. And so this is after that event, so they can be Christians, but they're not filled with the Spirit. But notice they had great joy. Well, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the born-again, recreated human spirit. They weren't yet filled with the Holy Spirit, but we do see a manifesting fruit of the Spirit. So that could not be a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, for the day of Pentecost had not yet come. So this scripture shows that the disciples already had one fruit of the Spirit, joy, before they were endued with power from on high. They had great fruit of the Spirit because the Bible says they had great joy. So as we yield to God and obey His word, this is how the fruit of the Spirit will grow continually. He'll cause us to grow up continually in love and joy and peace and all the other fruit of the Spirit. As we yield to Him, as we yield to God, obey His word, obey what He's doing, we're going to grow. So these fruit of the Spirit we read in Galatians, love, joy, peace, and these other things will grow in our lives. And that's a result of us yielding to the Spirit of God that dwells on the inside of us and His word. So one of the main purposes of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is for us to bear fruit. And Jesus said that we could bear fruit as we dwell in Him. Could you put up John 14, verse 16 in the Amplified? We touched on some of these things in passing with what we were talking about, but we're going to go touch on this again. So the Holy Spirit, we can see here from the Amplified version, He's our comforter, our counselor, our helper, our intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener, and a standby. Let's read it. He said, this is the same verse we read earlier, but this is it, at the beginning. That was in the New King James. This is in the Amplified. He says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another comforter. So that word comforter, this is how it's expounded. All these different meanings are in that word. Now, this is who dwells on the inside of us. But notice, that comforter, it also means counselor. It means helper, it means intercessor, it means advocate, it means strengthener and standby. And notice that He may remain with you forever. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to its heart, because it does not see Him or know Him or know or recognize Him, but you know and recognize Him, for He lives with you constantly, and He will be... Go ahead. In you. So Jesus said the Holy Spirit would be a comforter, a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener, and a standby. We don't need anything more than that. Think about it. You need help. He's your counselor. If you need wisdom on something, well, you have a counselor. Counselor what? Well, He knows everything. What do you need counsel on? What do I do? Well, you have a counselor. Helper. Well, I need help in a situation. Well, good thing. You have a helper. Don't have to look far. Just under your nose. He's in you. Intercessor. That means He makes, the Bible says Jesus makes intercession for us. That means He's taking the part on your behalf and standing in the gap for you. You may, and you don't, and I don't, have everything together, but thank God Jesus makes intercession on our behalf, and the Spirit of His Spirit, the Spirit of God, is on the inside of us. An advocate. Aren't you glad you have somebody that takes sides with you? He advocates for you. You know, that is awesome. Because sometimes you have days where you just wish somebody were on your side. Well, you never can say nobody's on your side. You know, even if all your family's mad at you and your boss is mad at you and the dog's mad at you or whatever pet you have. We have birds, they get mad at us sometimes. But you can never say that you don't have anybody on your side, because we have God on our side, and that trumps anything else. Strengthener, we can't say, well, I'm just too weak. I just can't go on. We really can't say that, truthfully. We may feel like it, but then we're just not believing who's in us. And then standby, he's always there. Well, I just feel so alone. Well, feeling and reality are two different things. So all these things, this is what we need. Many believers have missed the reality of what the Holy Spirit came to do in us on a continual basis. Too often when some people need help, I think we've all been there to a degree, people just run around frantically, sometimes in a frenzy, just trying to find someone to pray for them. Going from person to person. Cry on one person's shoulder, then go to another person's shoulder and cry. I'm not making fun of anybody. We've all probably been there. But let's just look at this in the reality of who's on the inside of us. You know, maybe talk about some scripture, quote a few scriptures, but when they get back alone, nothing's really changed. Same thing. You can talk about the problem, you can cry on everybody's shoulder, but at the end of the day, you get alone, it's the same thing. We forget who is on the inside of us. The Almighty, the Spirit of Almighty God is on the inside of us. We forget that we have a helper. We don't have to pray for a helper. We already have a helper. We already have a comforter. Notice that's the first word. We have a comforter. Well, I just don't feel like I can go on. Well, you have a comforter. He will comfort you. But it doesn't happen just because if we're going to act like that's not true, then it won't be real for us. So we have to look to him and say, you're our comforter, and take the comfort of all. It's a comfort just talking about the fact that he's in us and he's there and who he is. Just start talking about who God is and start declaring what his word says about him, and then start saying, and that person is in me. The third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is in me, and that will change our perspective. Emotions follow what we'll focus on. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said the Holy Spirit would be our comforter. And then John 16:7, do you have that? John 16:7, Jesus said this. He said, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Just think about that. Now, he's telling his disciples, but you know, people think, well, it'd be great if Jesus were here in the flesh. Well, Jesus can only be in one place at one time. The Holy Spirit can be everywhere. He's in every believer all at once. You say, how is that possible? I don't have to know how it's possible. I just believe God. But Jesus could physically only be in one place. So Jesus himself said, it's to your advantage that I go away. If Jesus said it's to our advantage, then it's to our advantage. I just wish I had somebody to talk to. We do. God. You can't see him, but he's there. The Holy Spirit is within us to be our comforter, to be our helper. He said, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. It must have been very important that the helper would come to us. There are billions of people on the earth, billions of Christians, and the Holy Spirit is with them, every single one of them, and is every single person's helper, but it's to the degree that we know this and act on it. Because he's no less the helper and the comforter to all the people, whether they know it or not. He's there, but if you don't know it, or if you know it, quote unquote, if you have heard it, but you don't act on it, then it's as if he's not there. But he is. You can have something and not take advantage of it. We all know that, right? We know that we could have some and not take it. I mean, we all have. Have you ever had a piece of exercise equipment and you haven't taken advantage of it? Everybody has. You walk by it, you know, or whatever, daily, you're like, I should do that. I should really do that more. Well, it didn't do us any good because it's sitting there. Well, it's the same thing with God. The Holy Spirit's in us, and we can be like, yeah, I really should look to that. And then look around and look at other people trying to help and go to them for help. And all the while, we have Him on the inside of us. He said, if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send Him to you. Thank God He has. The Helper is with us. Also, the Holy Spirit is our guide. John 16:13. You can go ahead and turn there. We're in John, so you can turn there. John 16:13. He is in us. He is our helper. He's our comforter. He is our guide. John 16:13. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. We don't have to turn there, but John 17:17 says, your word is truth. Jesus said, your word is truth. So the Holy Spirit, He's the Spirit of truth. So He will always, whatever He bears witness with, it will always be truth. It says He will guide you into all truth. So He'll guide you into all kinds of truth. And that includes everything in His Word. He'll guide you into the truth of His Word. So you can grow up in His Word as He guides you. The Holy Spirit will give you illumination and guidance and help. Now, we need to make ourselves available. We need to expose ourselves to the Word. God's Word is infinite. It never gets old. You can't exhaust it. So it's important to put ourselves in front of the Word consistently. We should do it daily. Don't get legalistic about it. If you miss a day, just do it the next day. You know, don't get legalistic about the things of God anymore. If you get legalistic in a friendship or a marriage, it's not good. You know, like, well, we got to spend so many minutes a day talking or else, you know, our marriage is going to fall apart. And honey, we only spent 28 minutes on one-on-one conversation a day. We got to stay up. That would get weird. No, we got to, hey, there's two more minutes. Don't look away from me. You don't do that. I mean, I hope. We just go with the flow. Some days you may be talking for hours, and other days, you know, it's just a lot going on, and you may see somebody in passing, but that doesn't mean, wait a minute, no, we got to take the time out. But with God, or you know, you may have a friend. Well, we talk on Thursdays at 5:30. Where were you? You don't like me anymore. Well, I got to go. But no, our appointment is from 5:30 to 6. Okay, so I say all that, and that's funny, but when it comes to God, and I got to read this many chapters a day, there's nothing wrong with that. Thank God. Discipline is good. And it's good to put something before us. And I'm going to do this because, you know, I'm going to read this many chapters. Or I'm going to read some in the New Covenant, the Old Covenant. Or I'm going to read some epistles in the Proverbs or Psalms. That's great. It's a framework. But don't let it become a law. Because nowhere in the Bible does it say, thou shalt read a proverb a day. Because there's 31 of them, and that fits into a month. That's a good thing. But don't get legalistic about it, and certainly don't start feeling condemned about it. Now you're in worse shape. If you have a good thing going, And then you miss a day. And if you let the devil condemn you because you didn't do that, then you're going through the day feeling bad because you didn't spend time with God and missing out on spending time with God while you're feeling condemned about not spending time with God. Devil's smart. There's a case to be made that he's stupid too, but he's smart as far as he knows how people work. And don't get legalistic about this. But when you go and spend time in the Word, we are actually looking at God's will. And if you ever would be tempted to say, well, God never speaks to me, then you're not reading the Word. If you read the Word, it is God speaking to you. Everybody say this, the Bible is God speaking to me. Say it one more time. The Bible is God speaking to me. One more time. The Bible is God speaking to me. So if you want to hear God, well, pick up the Bible and start reading. And you know, if you're going to read a chapter or something, it's good to say, God, Lord, now don't make a legalistic thing out of this either, but just, Lord, I'm reading your word. This is your word. This is truth. Lord, just quicken my understanding. Enlighten me. You're opening up. Do that and see how it doesn't just open up to you. You read, the Holy Spirit within you is there to guide you into all truth. You're reading and things are leaping off the page. You can have such a rich time and you could get three verses down and you just get stuck on one. Well, don't go, I got to finish my chapter and go right on by. That'd be like somebody's talking to you and you say, well, no, I know, but we got to get going. That's rude. If God is ministering a verse to you, ministering to you, just stay there. Let him tell you. You might stay on the same verse for 3 days. That's okay. But he will guide you into all truth. He'll guide you into truth, the truth of God's, of his word. He'll reveal things to you. You could have read the same scripture 154 times, and you read it the 155th, and it's like you never read it before. And the thing is, then when you read it the 368th time, it's like you never read it before again. And you're like, you see something you never saw before. And it just keeps going like that your whole life because he's infinite. And you are different. You're different today than you were yesterday because you've had different experience. You've had more experience. You see things. And 5 years from now, you may read a scripture and you see it differently because you've gone through different things, you've seen different things, and now he can bring something in and show you even more, bring you up to a higher level. So the Spirit of truth, when he has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. So the Holy Spirit will guide us into the truth of God's word. He will tell us things to come. Can you put up Romans 8:14 real quick? It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Notice that. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. Where does the Spirit of God dwell? In us. In me. In you. So it's not like God is off there, woo, somewhere, woo-woo, out there somewhere. Oh, God, please lead me. All we have to say, he's on the inside of us. And this scripture says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That's a generic term. Sons and daughters. Children of God. What is this saying? If you're a child of God, you can be led by the Spirit of God. Period. Well, I just don't know. I can't hear him. Well, don't say that. We just said that God's word is God speaking to you. We said that we saw that the Spirit has been sent to you to guide you into all truth. He will show you things to come. And here it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So if you're a child of God, you are led by him. Regardless of what you've seen before, this is the word of God, and we need to agree with this and start saying, I'm led by the Spirit of God. I am following him. I hear him. He is leading me. I hear his voice. Don't say, I just can't figure out what God's saying. Say, no, I hear him. I hear him. I'm hearing him. He's showing me. He's guiding me. I'm quick to ascertain what he needs me to do and what he's guiding me. He is my guide just as much as the next person's. He is the person that leads me and guide me. He's my guide. He's my God. And I hear him. He will guide us in all the affairs of life. No one can be guided or led, however, without placing themselves in the hands of the guide. So we need to understand that he is our guide and he's on the inside of us, but we need to yield to him and say, Lord, you lead me. You show me. And that takes being willing. There's no use to pray, Lord, guide me, give me directions, unless you are going to allow yourself to be guided. Now, you may think that's obvious. Well, of course, that's obvious. It's not obvious. It might be obvious that if you're going to ask for help, you really wanted to be helped, but we need to be willing to do what he says to do. We need to be willing that regardless of what he tells us and what he guides us to do, that if we're willing to do whatever we hear, now we're in a position to hear. If we're saying, well, God, lead me and guide me, but as long as you know you're not telling me to do this or tell me to be over here, then I'm good. Well, then we're not fully open. And that can lead to us being confused. Because we're saying, God, lead me. You know, if you were to go to your friend and say, hey, can you really show me what to do? And they tell you, well, you should do this. Not that. Show me what to do. Or if you go in and asked him and said, you know what, I really want you to give me advice about this. Now, I've already looked at this and this and this, and I know it's none of this stuff, but give me advice. What if what they want to tell you is exactly what you said you don't need and what you already looked at and you already dismissed? Well, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. If somebody asked you, I mean, unless you're a real good friend and you thought you could get away with saying it, but generally, if somebody asks you to do something and they just negate, they just say they've looked at this, they looked at that, you know, but they want to know what to do, but they said, well, but I don't want to do this and I don't want to do that concerning that, you're probably not going to say, well, actually, you're wrong. And that's actually what you should do. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. Unless you ask him, he's not going to impose himself. He won't impose himself. And even with, you know, like the example we just gave, if somebody said and you were a good friend, then you would probably have that relationship. In other words, if you were asked by your good friend for advice and you had a real good relationship, the understanding is, and they might even say it, and if I'm off, if what I just said is wrong, then you tell me. Well, you just invited them to tell you whatever. That's the same way with God. So if you were to go to God and say, God, show me what to do here. But, you know, and implicitly, you may not say it, but you've shut off certain things in your heart. Then when you're asking him, you haven't really opened yourself. What if he wants to deal with that thing that you're not asking him? On the other hand, if you go and say, God, whatever. Now, and he knows when you're serious. Whatever you want me to do, you show me, doesn't matter. If it's here, there, I might have had some ideas, but whatever, you show me. Now we're in a position to be actually guided for completely by him. Are you with me? Now don't get legalistic. I have to say that because, you know, here's the thing. Some people that are actually the most got very sensitive hearts toward God, when you say things like this, they're the first ones to beat themselves up, even though they're actually in a better position than most people. You know what I mean? You might not. But somebody that is really sensitive to God and really has a heart to serve, you tell them something like this and they'll be like, oh, maybe I've shut him off. And that's not the case. Really, they're probably actually very open to him. So don't beat yourself up. Don't use that as a tool for Satan to beat you up. Just be honest with him and say, Lord, I'm asking you for direction. Show me. Whatever it is you say, I want to hear that. Even if it goes flat up against what I thought in this situation. I'll do that. I'm open. So it doesn't do any good to ask for guidance unless we're going to be willing to be guided. So let's say we have some place, we're going to some place and there's a guide there to escort us. If we don't follow the guide, then there would be much we wouldn't understand and we might even get lost. Have you ever been on a guided tour? In some place, maybe you're a tourist somewhere, you're going, you know, attraction or whatever. The guide is there to explain certain things and to show us the way to go. The guide knows where to turn. The guide has been there before. The guide understands the pitfalls. But we have to listen to the guide and put ourselves under their guidance. Otherwise, we're not going to benefit. So that it's a reason why individuals have gotten in corners or not had the best circumstances because they're not following the guide. Every one of us has the guide within us, like we talked about. The Holy Spirit is the guide and He dwells in us. So we have the ability to hear. And He wants to lead each of us. Everybody say that. Say, God wants to lead me. He wants me in the right place. He wants me there at the right time. He has good plans for me. He wants to lead me. He wants to guide me. His heart is for me, not against me. He has good things for me, not bad things. Amen? So he wants to guide us. When we have guidance, we can be prepared ahead of time for circumstance because the Bible tells us, that what we just read, John 16:13, that the Holy Spirit will guide us and show us things to come. So if we're just being led by Him, we can be in a position where we're ready for something coming down the road and we didn't even know what was coming. But we're just being led on what we know to do. And so He'll show us and help us to get in places so we're ready for what's coming. God wills to help everybody, regardless of our station in life, regardless of our background, regardless of our vocation or our role, whether we're in business or ministry or a homemaker or teaching or sales or whatever. He wants to lead us and guide us in our affairs, whether it be in our family, whether it be physically in our body. You know, people, what do I take here? What should I eat here? We have the guide. Whether it be in our business, whatever, He is there to help us. If we're a believer, He is there to help us. And if we'll learn to listen to Him and look to Him, He will guide us. Each one. We all have the ability. We're all children of God. And He said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons or the children of God. So we can be led. We can be led. And that's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit within is to guide us. That's one of the reasons He is with us and in us. Amen.